Now, this is side two of broadcast number 568. It is not taped, it's not live on the air, but we do tape it, October 25th, 1982. One point about the hysteria of the Coca-Cola poisoning that turned out to be just hysteria, the disclaimer that it wasn't Coca-Cola. I mentioned last week the wars that go on, cosmetic wars, the competition, the aspirin versus the Tylenol. There's the burger versus the Big Mac, where people are getting dysentery if they eat at McDonald's, and they're getting stomach poisoning, and there's a question why their food should be cooked any longer or slower than anybody else's. There's been lawsuits and articles in the paper, Burger Battle Shifts to Court, McDonald versus Wendy's and the Burger King. And then another story, stomach illness termed rare type of dysentery and linked to the McDonald's stores. And then on the TV, you might have all seen the football game in California, Monterey, in Southern California, not the Monterey up here. And 70 people were at a football game, and the news stories, the AP said they had some pre-mixed Coca-Cola. And on KGO, which is ABC Radio, for every half hour, for 24 hours, it was Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. So you got the image and you saw it on the screen. And then a psychologist came on the next day and said, oh, no, it wasn't Coca-Cola. The initial diagnosis was copper sulfate poisoning in the pipes. But we ruled that out, you know, after a few hours. What it turned out is that with all the Tylenol problems, that people are very hypersensitive. So when one faints, the other faints. So that this hysteria caused a group of 200 people to be sick and go to a hospital. Do you believe that? I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that hysteria made 200 people sick. The image of Coca-Cola was there. Somebody clamped down on the story and stopped that BS. But I don't believe for a minute that that was a hysteria. There was something in the drinks, and the name Coca-Cola was used out here over and over again. I don't know if you got it on the East Coast like we got it here. So the Burger King versus the Big Mac, the Borgesa face versus the makeup at Magna, the eye Magnum makeup, or whether it's Tylenol versus aspirin. Look for these conflicts or these corporate law warfares going on now, because I think it's loud and clear that people are tampering with each other's products, and you have to begin to add it up, just like you add how many people are killed in a certain week that have a contact or relationship to court investigations, trials, and scandals that are breaking. Now, for Pete Wilson, I promised that I would do that because the elections are next week, and maybe I'll refresh you even more as time goes on. Pete Wilson is one of the most important chosen godchildren of the Republican Party. And as I say back east, remember, we gave you Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. What more do you want? Okay, The Village Voice from New York City, a good article by Alex Cockburn and James Ridgway that I started last week. In 1962, the career of Pete Wilson was started. He was the advance man for Richard Nixon against the governor. He was the advance man for Richard Nixon, who was running for governor of California. Now, remember, Nixon lost to JFK in 1960. JFK will be murdered 1 year later. The people that killed him and the relationship to them down at La Costa with Bo Dallas, Robert Mayhew, Louis Neiser is the attorney for them. He was the attorney on the Warren Commission that wrote the introduction. These things should be investigated and were never brought up before either investigation of the Kennedy assassination. That down in San Diego, where Pete Wilson comes from, is a direct link to people involved 1 year later in killing John Kennedy. And Pete Wilson was the advance man for Nixon. He went to Yale and graduated from there. Yale was recruiting CIA, and he said so at the time. This is the Yale of William Buckley, who formed Young Americans for Freedom, and George Bush of the CIA, and many, many others. It was a nest of CIA people. In 1960, he went into the Marines and then went to law school. And in 1966, with the blessings of C. Arnold Smith, he began his political career. Well, C. Arnold Smith began the organizations and clubs that funded Richard Nixon to run against Jerry Voorhees. There's a book called Dirty Business that discusses the C. Arnold Smith bank failure in San Diego. Up to that time, it was the biggest bank failure in the United States, $1.2 billion in assets. That equals the Ambrosiano Vatican connection and their banks missing money at this time. They stuck on a $1.2 billion. But C. Arnold Smith was linked to crime figures, the San Diego Union, the newspaper that had a very big part in the career of Pete Wilson. The life of C. Arnold Smith is in many books on Richard Nixon, on corruption, on Watergate. I don't have to say more. That name should ring some bells, and if it doesn't, go to the library and check that one out. He began 1966 with Pete Wilson's career when he got home in the Navy. Pete Wilson was an assemblyman for two semesters in Sacramento. Then he was the mayor of San Diego, and as I mentioned last week, 1972 was the year that ITT was funding the hotels there, that John Mitchell was working with the hit squads from LAPD to kill Richard Nixon and put Agnew in, to round up the radicals and have all hell break out at the convention and blame the anti-war people. He was the mayor of the city when this was going to take place, and he was the protege of C. Arnold Smith. Down in San Diego is the Marine Navy base El Toro, where Oswald met with federal agents before he went to Russia. It's close to the Nazi network and drug channels to Mexico. It's the home, as I say, of La Costa, and also one of the homes of Mr. DeLorean of General Motors, who also has homes in New York and Ireland, New Jersey, and banks all over the world. Okay. P. Wilson was put in also by the Copley newspaper. It's a major newspaper in San Diego. They control the San Diego Union and the San Diego Tribune. A writer from that newspaper, Otto Boss, I wonder if he's related to Otto von Bolschwing, is Wilson's press secretary. He formerly covered the Union and the City Hall Reporter. Wilson's press secretary before Otto Bosch was promoted to Bechtel Corporation, where we have our Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. Peter Kay, the Union's associate editor, worked on Wilson's campaigns. He had strong ties, the whole newspaper had strong ties, the Copley paper down in San Diego and to the power structure of the military and the San Diego establishment. The San Diego Union was accused by the anti-war people during the time of the war and the demonstrations of turning over to the reporters photographic material of the demonstrations. They were informers for the FBI. The San Diego Union was accused of helping the FBI get convictions on the anti-war people. A man behind the career of Pete Wilson is General Victor Brute Krulak, K-R-U-L-A-K. We'll have to look more up on Krulak and see if he's one of these Nazis that came out of the Fritz Kramer operation, because he was a former director of editorial policy for the Copley newspaper and Vietnam commander of the Marine Corps. He approved and praised the counterinsurgency program, the pacification of William Colby. And as I said before, I think I mentioned it last week, he was too far right to get an appointment. Lyndon Johnson thought he was too far right. He escorted, he's a very wealthy man, lives in San Diego, General Victor Brute Krulak, K-R-U-L-A-K. He took Pete Wilson up to the Bohemian Grove last year and this year, where Henry Kissinger from the 20th Century Fox and the oil rape and all the fascism in Chile and Argentina and Southeast Asia. Henry Kissinger was there this year when they played Hail to the Chief. Pete Wilson was accompanied by General Victor Brute, in quotation, Krulak. As I say, he's very wealthy and he lives in San Diego. Pete Wilson was involved in some scandals with Signal Oil Company, a man named Forrest Shumway in 1979. When he was mayor of San Diego, he persuaded Shumway to set up a corporate headquarters in Torrey Pines. And then they found out that the land had been sold to him at half price, and he got a big bargain, and Shumway contributed to Edwin Wilson's campaign. The Edwin Wilson links to Governor Mike Curb and the Kitchen Cabinet and Ken Reitz are very, very thick. He, in 1980, began to be taken over by Justin Dart and Holmes Tuttle, the men that arranged the nomination and the election of Ronald Reagan, and then the committee to reelect the president. That office of Nixon's came to life, according to the Village Voice article. And then I'll switch to other articles from the LA Times and other papers. This is all out of a New York paper, mind you. Our California writers can't even come up with this. There was a group that decided we have to have Pete Wilson, he will turn more right. Once they turn him from a so-called liberal Republican to more right, the California group came in, and a consulting firm was behind his nomination to the Senate against Jerry Brown. One of the people on there is Jerry Ford's son. Again, going back to the 20th Century Fox and Kissinger and Ford and the Warren Commission. These names run through the whole era, and they'll never stop till we say enough. Ken Reitz handled Mike Curb's nomination. Ken Reitz worked in, this is one of the men that helped raise Pete Wilson's funds and worked with him to get him to run for the Senate this time. Ken Reitz ran in 1972 Nixon's what he called the Kitty Corps. If that isn't demeaning, you know, the women's movement don't like to be called girls. Imagine college people called kiddies. They look down on you, K-I-D-D-I-E, the Kitty Corps, young spies for Nixon. Ken Reitz ran that. He was director of the Committee to Reelect the President's Youth Vote Division, and he was Robert Haldeman's choice to head the Republican National Chairmanship. Another man behind Pete Wilson is General Gorton, George K. Gorton, G-O-R-T-O-N, and he's very important in many ways. I'll mention him again in a few minutes. And Wilson cut his political teeth with Richard Nixon, worked for the Committee to Reelect the President, had the job of infiltrating the anti-war movement. He was national college director of the Committee to Reelect the President, and employed college students. These are the people working with Pete Wilson. They employed college students at the time Nixon was running for president to infiltrate them and to report to the FBI on the lives and plans of the anti-war demonstrators. That's what the Kitty Corps was, and they're running Pete Wilson now. Now, the lives meant they broke up marriages. They wrote to parents about the kids being homosexuals. They drugged them. Some were put into mental institutions. Some are still zonked out on the MK Ultra drugs. They broke up families. Many were killed or put in jail. Mr. George K. Gorton reported to Ken Reitz at the time that Nixon was in office for the Kitty Corps, and he now is running Pete Wilson's campaign. The object was to set up drug arrests. Many of you remember those years, the 60s, and get the anti-war demonstrators arrested. Imagine them setting up drug arrests with their links to the Nugent hand and the heroin and the cocaine and the admirals and the generals. They're getting the kids on a little bit of marijuana. Remember those days in the LSD? They had spies in 38 states, and Wilson helped raise money for Nixon's Committee to Reelect the President. George Gorton is now, G-O-R-T-O-N, is Wilson's campaign manager. He recently got funds for over 24,000 individuals. He raised $2 million more than Governor Brown. And you remember the dummy fronts that they used back in the times of reelecting Richard Nixon in 72, 68 and 72. Well, that is the team with Pete Wilson. Now, from the Los Angeles Times, there's a story, a shy, boyish man who hates to lose. And it's about Pete Wilson. His father had an advertising agency in Lake Forest, Illinois. He moved away because by 1947, he started working for Standard Oil of Indiana. Remember, George Bush has, I think it's his son that's on the board of Standard Oil of Indiana, who was meeting with John Hinckley's brother the night after Reagan was supposed to die. This corporation came in. Well, this is a long time ago when his father started with Standard Oil of Indiana. The mother was a Roman Catholic religious. The kids were brought up strictly. And then the ROTC sent him to Yale on a Navy scholarship. Now, keep in mind that Pete Wilson wants to run for the Senate, and he hasn't paid his way for anything. He got through college on this. He married a woman who was 12 years older than him, who sold real estate that helped him when he was an assemblyman up in Sacramento. He's left her now to go on to bigger and better fish, okay? And he lives in a place that's rent-free, in two condos that are rent-free, and he hasn't paid any taxes for the last several years because he has some cow manure that's supposed to make energy down in Texas, and we'll get into that in a minute. He was allegedly distracted by a woman when he was at Yale, so it slowed him down. He was a poor student, so they blame a woman for that. But when he came out to California, it took him four times to pass the bar, so I guess they'll find some woman that slowed him down there. The CIA was recruiting at Yale. He said, I would have gone with them, but the Navy sent him through, so he went 3 years in the service. He helped start the Charter of Young Republicans in San Diego, and he met Herb Klein, Nixon's confidant and right-hand man, who told him, go to San Diego, it's military, it's conservative, and we need young Republicans. So he was in the charge of Herb Klein, the kitchen cabinet, C. Arnold Smith. Then he went on in 1962, the Young Republicans was really getting their muscles ready, and the Young Americans for Freedom, started by William Buckley up at from Yale, also the gang that were to move from Munich, Germany, down the Dallas-Fort Worth area when John Kennedy was murdered, and they've never been smoked out or forced to testify or see where they are now, that whole gang from Young Americans for Freedom. 1 year before JFK was offed, he was with the Young Republicans, and he was working on the campaign for Barry Goldwater in 1964. He was part of his campaign. And then got assistance in 1966. He was in the Senate in California, and the LA Times says his parents helped him buy his first home in Sacramento. So again, we're having a man who doesn't know poverty by a long shot, whose parents buy the home, who the Navy, our tax dollars, put him through the college at Yale, who gets rent free and has a tax write-off. He puts that in December 30th. Just an hour, I guess, before the tax break, so that with a $10,000 investment, he can save thousands of dollars and not pay any taxes out here. Now, Ronald Reagan was campaigning for him and showering praises in California. Charlton Heston has been making movies advertising him. Heston was against Ed Asner in the El Salvadoran exposés. Fritz Kramer Kissinger, the old buddy, was in California campaigning and raising $60,000 for him at a luncheon in San Diego. He said at the luncheon, Reagan needs a philosophical coherence in the Senate. Doesn't that sound exactly like Henry Kissinger? Gerald Ford gave a dinner. He came out and put on an event for this particular person, Pete Wilson, and Wayne Newton was giving a party for him, too, also Las Vegas Entertainer fundraising. So, again, you get that cast of characters that I repeat again, like Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger, and we have the movie Ronald Reagan and Charlton Heston, and there's Kissinger and Ford, Jerry Ford, and they're raising money out here for him. The New Right, according to one paper in the San Francisco Chronicle, the New Right will pay for Wilson's ads, the anti-Brown ads. And the main thing, one of the things that's very important, is they keep throwing up the Medfly incident. Now, the Medflies came for Peru. They were 200 to 300 million fertile med flies that were brought in. Armin Hammer, who put up money, who's one of the close associates to Pete Wilson running against Brown, has investments in Peru. J. Peter Grace and his family were called the Pirates of Peru in an entire book, and the links of the CIA to Peru and organized crime. When our governor, Jerry Brown, was told that sterile flies were coming in as a cure, and they were fertile, then he was the brunt of everything in, you know, across the board. If you travel the country, you saw Medfly shirts at the airport. On Ocean Avenue in Carmel, there was a store with Medfly shirts. I went in and yelled my head off, and they weren't in the window after that. Everywhere you went in cartoons, and they still talk about the Medflies. Jerry Brown has never answered back how the CIA airplanes did the Medflyon spraying, how the whole Medfly scandal was a point for campaigning later against Jerry Brown, and the Peruvian Medflies, the laboratories, have never been identified if they were and had any relationship to the very people funding Pete Wilson's campaign. There's an article in the paper last week, September 18th. First the Medfly, now the Madfly. Peru's gangland chief, Moscow Loco, called the Madfly, said he would pay the Peruvian nation's $10 billion foreign debt if they would give him a free hand and open up the U.S. narcotics market. So the way Mr. Lalorian pays his debts, or the way they pay them in Peru to the United States, open up the drug market and we'll pay the debt. Peru is very much in close with the United States and the drug dealers and would love to be unleashed. More about Mr. Pete Wilson, because elections are coming soon. I'm not saying he's perfect. I could do another hour on Jerry Brown, but this man is the protege of everything that has come down since Watergate that wasn't prosecuted, and that's why he's so important. And these kind of people, as I said, never fade away any more than Richard Nixon when he lost in 1960 to John Kennedy, when he lost as the governor of California. He ended up doing the same dirty, rotten tricks he always did, being the president of the United States. One article out of the San Francisco Chronicle, Pete Wilson's free rent. San Diego businessmen pay for his rent. There's two condominiums. He separates from his wife, so he says, I give her my full salary, so they have to give me free rent. That could be a safe house. It could be a house for dope dealing. He can be compromised by what they give him. If he wants a divorce, why doesn't he divorce like other people? When we get divorced, I've gotten a divorce. I sold a big house and split it in two. My husband got half and I got half, okay? You know, one person doesn't keep the whole half, and the other one runs for U.S. Senate, and the rent is paid by somebody else. Now, you have to know something is going on wrong at that point. The other thing is that he has a large salary. His wife is in real estate down there. He paid no income taxes. What he had is called the Texas Cow Manure Tax Shelter. You can translate that into Bull S Shelter. Filed just the night before the taxes. He put in $10,000, and that instantly, with that 24-hour little postage or 1 minute that goes into the mail slot, he saved $20,000 that year and more later, and it hasn't belched a bit of gas or energy. It's supposed to bring out energy. Now, he belongs to this company that's going to get this energy out of California, a C.W. Gossett of Gardena, California. And the board of members isn't even identified. The people that he owns the property with aren't named. They claim they don't know. According to San Jose Mercury, it's very secretive. You can believe it's secretive. They found a piece of land in Texas. And he gets a tax write-off for what he makes, for what his wife makes in real estate. The property, according to people in the town, is 80-odd pipes sticking in the air. They closed it down in 1981 because there was a windstorm that broke the windmill. And this guy has his big salary, and a windmill knocks down a piece of a pipe so that there's no energy coming out of it, and he gets all these write-offs, okay? Now, Howard Baker was out here speaking for him, and William Colby was working with Howard Baker and the CIA covering up Watergate crimes. So Baker is praising and stumping for Wilson, another person who's stumping for him. Now, he was caught with a tax shelter, and he was asked to explain. He said he didn't know the identity of the other limited stockholders. What if it's Mr. Hypothetically, what if it's Mr. DeLorean? What if it's heroin and cocaine? DeLorean, there's secrets about who is involved in their companies and the operations he's in. How can elected public officials or anybody else who gets a tax write-off not have in front of him who he's with in case it's a crook? You know when to get out in case he's a swindler or extortionist. How did you get your profits? He doesn't know the names, really, Mr. Innocent, okay? Mr. Gossett put it together, but he was under indictment when he did it. He was questioned by the government. There were liens on his property. There's a question of $70,000 involved to Pete Wilson. He wanted to run for senator. He may have to cough up a lot of money. They're asking him, who lent you the $70,000 on this involvement? And his partner, this Charles Gossett, had liens before he took the money. He hadn't paid his taxes either. There were tax problems with this particular person. Wouldn't an advisor, a counselor to a man who's been put in, this is a ridiculous hypothetical question, wouldn't somebody related to C. Arnold Smith and Mr. Goldwater and Reagan's kitchen cabinet and running Nixon's campaign, wouldn't you know that he wouldn't know who put money into where he's getting his tax write-offs? Isn't that weird? And he doesn't have an accountant that tells him who they are. He gets into the Texas cow manure investment because his wife made a lot of money. A lot of wives make money, and a lot of people make money, but they have to pay taxes. So there's an investment question here. His wife, Betty, is a real estate agent, his ex-wife. She got into investments after Robert E. Miller asserted a recommendation by J.J. Pontius, P-O-N-T-I-U-S, former secretary of the National Association of Realtors. Mr. DeLorean owns a lot of real estate in San Diego. Does he know these people? Does he know Betty Wilson? Did he buy property from her? See, DeLorean has the same friends and the same crowd. It's Sammy Davis. It's Johnny Carson. It's the multinational banks. The DeLorean scandal, and I'll do a lot on it next week. I wish I could do it this week, but I wanted to do the elections coming up. Takes you to Swiss banks, as I say, to the Bahamas, to the Caymans, to Utah, to corporations in Nevada, to all kinds, the Continental Illinois Bank, to whet your appetite, which involves many of the people I mention every week on the air, including the funding of Marvin Davis and Fox Studio. Now, Pete Wilson, 4 months before he got involved in this deal, this man was under investigation, federal investigation. He had $5,986 tax lien on his development company before Wilson invested. There was a tax lien in September 1980. And in November, there was another tax lien where Mr. Gossett and his brother Jerry Gossett were in trouble with their taxes. So how is it that a man running for public office who is the mayor of San Diego, who was two times in the assembly in California, the protege of all these fine people, of Henry Kissinger and Jerry Ford and Ronald Reagan and Mr. Howard Baker, the who's who of what's what for the past 20 years, they're all pumping for him in the Senate. How does he get away with that? And finally, in the last minute or so, they pulled, the Pete Wilson people pulled the same thing that Richard Nixon and his group pulled in San Jose or wherever Nixon campaigned. There was allegedly a scare on the life of Pete Wilson this last week. And again, KGO every 30 minutes had it. A woman called up and used the name of Tom Hayden, stopped the advertisements or the mentioning Tom Hayden in a negative respect. We're going to kill Pete Wilson. So the news, he didn't have to pay for the publicity. The news every hour and a half hour was saying there's tight security around Pete Wilson. He received telephone threats. A woman called him, and the San Francisco Examiner said, this is no laughing matter, death threats of candidates, so that they had this tight security there. Allegedly, a woman said that she was upset with Tom Hayden, and the phone calls went up to John Flanagan in San Francisco. So the wire services every half hour, Pete Wilson's in danger. You know, the left is so adamant they'll kill our nice candidate, Mr. Good Guy. Look how the terrorism works. And again, that whole thing faded. They got 24 hours of free publicity. And KGO, again, is ABC Broadcasting that hired Henry Kissinger at a fat salary recently. And some woman, any woman can call and say, get Hayden's name off. And for just those three phone calls, you can get continuous telephone publicity on the air. You don't have to pay for it, even though he has all the millions he wants. You don't have to pay for it. And finally, Pete Wilson is a very literary man. I'll close with a sentence. He was asked recently at a group of California Republicans about bail reform in California, and this was the sentence he gave, delivered in one breath. Quotes, you will recall that when you voted for Proposition 8, you ended that situation which allowed a Brown appointee to shout at the district attorney of Alameda County from the bench as he released on his own recognizance an Oakland cop killer, saying, all I can do is see what the man is here at the time appointed for trial, which happens to be, unhappily, or was before June 8th, comma, the Supreme Court announced law of California, comma, regardless of the clear history of danger and threat to public safety posed by this man, comma, who was back in court for drawing a weapon 3 days earlier on a second Oakland police officer. Now, that is the grammar of a man whose 3 years at Yale scholarship was paid by our service to put him through Yale and in the Marines, and now he wants to run for the Senate. He avoids, he's called shy, he avoids being interviewed, and you can guess why. If that's the way he talks and thinks, just wait till he gets in the Senate. That's all I can do on Pete Wilson, and next week we're going back to Mr. John DeLorean and the network, so you understand that, and hopefully to update some of the other broadcasts. In the meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel, and this is KAZU in Pacific Grove, California.